right now. The furnace isn't on, and unless the dog's upstairs barking, you wouldn't know that we had animals, but we have, you know, a ton of animals running around all the time. That's it.
Okay. But you've actually made, you're just not, you know, if I recall, you have some, shall we say, cushioning, you know, acoustic cushioning in your midst, as it were?
Concrete wall?
Oh, okay. Your microphone is doing a better job than handling the space, or it's a more compact space than Charlie's basement. Charlie's basement is pretty cavernous, if I remember right. Anyway, are there any, wowee, kazowie. Oh, man. You know, how many Paramus police officers would take to tow away somebody for and a tow truck? Ooh, boy. Anyway, I won't say where. But anyway. So, let's see. Anybody else have any comments before I go look for the chickens?
W2JEK, I have a question.
Go ahead. Six, Mike. But I built a ham shack, and it is a little echoey. My room is about 10. But I put up a ceiling. I don't know what that does. The paper, what do you call those, compressed paper, 2x4 ceiling tiles. And yeah, I can, now that I focus on it, I can hear a bit of echo. It'll change as I add more stuff into the room.
Yeah, actually, it's really kind of interesting because while both you and Bennett have spriteful audio, it's, you know, you have that echo, and I didn't realize you had finished out your ham shack. Good for you. All right, any check-ins for the net, please call K2BAR.
KC2SQV checking in.
Okay, good evening, James. Do you have any questions?
No questions tonight. I'm glad to be here. Dad, name is James, to those of you who don't know me. Gordon is my dad. I am sitting right next to him. We are mobile, in case you didn't know. No questions. Felt like getting on the net tonight. Better have the license, better use it once in a while. All right, KC2SQV.
You're a wise guy. Okay, now you know where I get it. I don't know if I get it from him or he gets it from me, but anyway, neither here nor there. All right. Let's see. All right. So Charlie, let's hear your mic in a little more of its glory, this other microphone.
Okay. The higher IPM on the boom. The compressor is on. I don't know. The compressor is now off. I don't know really what that does for me for the sound. Maybe you could give me a little bit of feedback. But I did go back to the other microphone, the pile.
Okay. Well, I was kind of wondering, because it sounds like you're kind of back on that now. All right. Very good. Any last-minute comments for anybody before we secure?
B2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, I was listening to some guys talking on the radio last night about the difference between tube and solid-state audio amplifiers or solid-state radio receivers versus the tube radio receivers as far as audio quality goes. I do know that some musicians swear by their vacuum tube amplifiers. Is there a reason for this, or is this just psychological?
I had a conversation with somebody just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm trying to remember. It wasn't on the TechNet, but okay. In general, there seems to be a warmth to a voltage device that's not quite present in a current device, such as a transistor. you know, meaning an NPN or PNP transistor type amplifier. You can certainly build, you know, a FET amplifier that actually would be just fine. I think you probably can approximate that as long as you don't, you know, that of a tube, as long as you don't overdrive things. I think in general, though, the audio files are probably right. And, you know, if you talk about power efficiency and stuff like that, well, you know, you get into a religious war just on the filaments. I think that, you know, there does seem to be something to the notion of a voltage device versus a current device. So NPN and PNP transistors would not necessarily be my first choice, although that's fine, too. Anybody want... Actually, it was on the tech that we had this conversation. Who wants to jump in on this religious subject? K2BAR. I could have sworn NS2K wanted to get involved. Alrighty, well, for those who care, and we do, Canada beat Switzerland in a shootout. U.S. beat Switzerland the other day, 3-1. And Canada beat Switzerland by, what, 18-0 or something? It was, I don't know, it was just ridiculous. It took them to a woodshed or something. Anyway, enough of that. And don't even ask about the U.S. curling team, men or women. Anyway, just don't even ask. They haven't won a match yet. Anyway. Alright. So, all those sports. And don't ask me about figure skating. Who cares? It's art, not... It's sport. Sport meets art, but it shouldn't be graded by in competition. My own opinion. Yeah. Anyway. There's no quantifiable result, sorry. So, any other questions, comments, confusions? I mean, if I can't time it, or if I can't measure how far it went, then to bring the electronic side of the equation into the conversation, then it shouldn't be a competition. That's kind of my point. Anyway, W2TTTK2BAR. Anybody else?
There's obviously not enough distortion in transistor amplifiers, NS2K.
There's obviously not enough distortion? There's plenty of distortion.
Hey, you want to turn it into a religious argument?
Yeah, really? I'm about to say, you know, excuse me, Comrade Molotov.
No. Anyway, I suppose. Now, there's a... all amplifiers distort. Different amplifiers distort differently. And a lot of people would argue that a tube amplifier distorts in a more pleasant fashion, audibly, than a transistor amplifier. And actually, that used to be very true for a long, long time. There was a lot not very graceful intermodulation distortion and stuff. Any decent amplifier nowadays, that's pretty much non-existent anyway. It's more picking nits, but of course when you design an amplifier that's not optimized for, sound quality, and they're more concerned with, say, cheapness of manufacture or low power consumption or some other goal, the quality falls apart, and quality fell apart with tube designs as well, especially when you factor in how expensive the transformers had to be in order to make a good tube amplifier. NS2K.
Yeah, Jim, I'll ask a question apart from that. Do you think that the distortion products in a current device just sound differently? I think maybe that's it. I mean, it's not to think a good, a decent, you know, a given amplifier can't distort. It's just, I think you try to hint it around it, but the way distortion is exhibited in a current device becomes more, shall we say, trashy sounding, for lack of a better term?
I don't know current versus voltage sounding trashy. I'm far from an expert on the subject, but it tends to be more a function of how the devices are biased, and that they be on in a fairly linear part of their transfer function, how much of the time, how gracefully they transition from the positive driving device to the negative driving device. And for a long time, the tendency was to make a very high-gain amplifier with a large amount of feedback around the whole thing. You'll end up with a thing called transient intermodulation distortion, where, we'll say, edges of two-tone events tended to get distorted transient, only at the edges. Once you got into a steady state, it wasn't too bad. Anyway, it was the kind of thing, if you do a steady state tone distortion test, it comes out really good. But real sound doesn't sound good. And it's going to be something of that nature where there's a... anyway, good modern designs don't have that problem particularly. Back to that, NS2K.
Okay, very good. I think you hit the nail on the head. It depends on how they're biased and where they're biased and how they handle transitions from one state to the other. I think that's pretty good. Alrighty. Let's see. Anybody else with comments on this subject?
Another quickie.
Sir.
I am always amazed at these battery-powered things that run on, 1.5 or maybe 3 volts and manage to produce mighty respectable sound into a pair of headphones or an earpiece running on such low voltage. Obviously, in that case, it's got to be a current device because there ain't no voltage to swing for the most part. Anyway, it's amazing the ingenuity that necessity brings. I think a lot of it is that they're using FET-type devices instead of bipolar, or what am I trying to say, standard PNP or NPN transistors. They're all FETs of some sort, so you can run them much more... we'll say in a current type mode. Anyway, it's amazing how good they are. NS2K.
A2QBV Mobile.
Good evening, Joel. Go right ahead.
Sergio, I don't know if I'm breaking in on a net or whatever, but I just heard your voice.
You are, and we'll add you in. This is the Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net. But we're here every Thursday night at this fine hour of, between 9 and whatever. So it's good hearing you, Joel. But we're talking about audio quality and the joys and pleasures of voltage devices read generally tubes or FETs, and current devices read bipolar transistors. Anyway, so that was... That's kind of where we are. Anyway, any more comments on the subject from anybody? All right, any comments about any other subject? Please call K2BAR. Announcements? Alrighty. Well, very good, and I want to thank everybody for being here this fine evening. I had a good list of stations participating tonight, and appreciate it, and I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their very fine repeater, and encourage people to, you know, support Chestnut Ridge, support Bergen County FM Association, who provide us with the repeaters to support Barra's Nets, and maybe we'll see some of you tomorrow night at the Fairlawn meeting. I think Gene HID wants to buttonhole me about a portable station box, so that'll be fun and interesting as well. And we'll be chatting about that a bit. And I'm wondering if anyone has any really good ways to... Actually, I do have one quick question before we go. Does anybody have any really good ways of making sure that when you bolt together aluminum plate, you know, small aluminum plate like the, you know, like eighth wall, eighth inch wall stuff, you bolt together, you don't want it to make electrical noise when vibrating. How do you really get it to bond tightly other than TIG welding? Anybody have any comments on how to do that? So that, let's say, mobile vibration doesn't cause things to move about. Anybody have any comments? Please call K2BAR.
Try using regular lock nuts with it.
With a star washer underneath it, just to make darn sure it stays tight?
That'll give you double protection, but with a locking nut, that won't loosen up.
You know, my issue is that, not that it loosens up a lot, but just it gets some vibration, lateral vibration that produces static when you bounce such a thing around the car. But that's a good suggestion, Jim. I'll try it. Last time I did it, I didn't quite do it that way, so I'll try the lock nuts.
Is it subject to moisture?
Nope. The inside of the orange box, remember I put the metal frame last time, and some parts of it were bolted together, some parts were just together, just hanging out. But I'm pretty convinced that even if I bolted them, I'd have to really crank them down in order to make sure that they don't move at all, especially in my truck.
Yeah, I'll sometimes put like dielectric grease around where you've got contact between aluminum and stainless. I try to use stainless hardware for anything like that. But where you've got the both materials in contact, I'll put a little grease around them so it at least excludes the moisture and hopefully will retard any corrosion. And as a consequence, hopefully retain reasonably good electrical conductivity between the two.
Okay. I'll try that. I was actually thinking of building the frame, doing all that stuff, bolting it together for structural soundness, and then, you know, see if anyone wants to TIG weld it. That was my other question. But some parts of this I really don't want TIG welded because I want to be able to remove the panel. I'll have to think about that some more. But all right, very good. Dielectric grease and some lock nuts and maybe some lock washers as well. We shall see. All righty. Any other questions, comments, confusions for that? And I appreciate that answer. W2TTP. All righty. I'm going to thank everybody for participating. They had a really great check-in list tonight, and we'll see everybody at Fairlawn tomorrow, and the Red Cross or the stakeout on Sunday, and we'll go from there. Remember, you have the opportunity to attend at least 3 ham functions this weekend for the 4 radio clubs in the area, and pay all your dues in any 2 of them. Well, in 2 of them, you can pay. In 2 of them, you can pay. You can take care of 2 each.